Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're going to be talking about in this program more prophecy about, you know, Babylon in regards to Revelation chapter 18. We're just asking the question out loud and learning out loud and searching things out about is New York City? I mean, when you think about the criteria, when you look at the scripture about Babylon, the only city right now in America that fits this description, you know, is New York City. And we're going to share with you some of the prophetic dreams and visions that God's given us and a few others about the city. But I want you to remember this, because you have so many people that talk about, you know, when the Lord's returning. And 100 years ago, people, you know, argued about it. You know, he's going to come back here. He's going to come back then. He came back. He didn't come back. But everybody that argued about it and debated about it are already with him, right? Because he already came back for them. They died.
Yeah.
And so you can be so dogmatic about your doctrine that you miss God. And the truth is, understand this, that if it applies to one city and your city's not mentioned, I mean, you're an afterthought. It's easily going to happen to your city. So if you are doing in your city what God says is so evil that the evils come before him and he deals with that city, do you think Babylon's the only city he's going to deal with like that? Do you think Nineveh was the only city that he's ever going to deal with? Do you think that is, I mean, come on, he's letting us know God is the same yesterday and day forever. He could deal with a city like that and not even mess up the prophecy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, if New York City is not spiritual Babylon or Babylon in regards to that, in regards to Revelation chapter 18, then that means all this judgment can come on a particular city, and God deals with cities. He deals with nations. He deals, and more so with cities. It's amazing how God deals with cities. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, Babylon rises up somewhere else in the future and it has nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, really, do you want to argue? I mean, if you're in the middle of everything that he's talking about in Revelation 8, but you're saying you're not in the Bible, therefore you're not going to suffer the judgment seat of Christ and what's going on. Come on. We have some pretty interesting things that God is showing us, has shown us. And as I meditate on Revelation chapter 18, you can't help but say, man, this sure seems like somebody I know.
Yeah.
This just seems like somebody I know. We want to talk about, ask a question. This is the question we want to ask. We want to ask the question, is New York City the Babylon that's being talked about in Revelation chapter 18? First, you have to realize, those that study the book of Revelation, is that it's not written in order. So you can't say, well, that's chapter 18, so that means 17 had to happen before 18, and that verse had to happen before this verse. I mean, you think how, if God wrote it like that, how many people go, I got it, you take three steps, two blocks, we're there, and this is it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, you know, hides a matter, and we have to search it out. So it's not wrong to ask the question, you know, where's Babylon? Where's this Babylon at? And, of course, there is a natural Babylon, and they're working hard right this moment to reestablish it, you know. And if Zedekiah becomes a leader after Jehoiakim, which is a third in line from Josiah, it will be Babylonian captivity. The question is, does that mean that those in America will be in captivity? Wouldn't that be something?
Mm.
But the question is a city. We're talking about a city. Because when you hear God talk about the ocean and the beast standing in the ocean, but he explains that the ocean is people. It's not a beast standing in your, you know, Atlantic or Pacific or the Gulf of Mexico or Lake Erie or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is symbolism. God's saying, no, he's going to be standing in the nations, in the people. He'll be amongst us. The dragon will be amongst us. And he will be one of us, you know, one of men, organization, that type of thing. But the question is, you know, are we Babylon? Because he talks about the fall of Babylon. And he says, and so what are the description factors when you talk about this? Because he says, after this, I saw another angel. I'm looking at Revelation chapter 18. Another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. Mm. Okay, there's an angel who came down from heaven, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. What a mighty voice, he shouted. So he began to shout with this mighty voice, and he says, "Fallen, fallen is New York City." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home of demons." And I'm not talking about New Yorkers or anything like that. Please, you know, we have listeners from New York. We're not talking about that, but we're just looking. We're asking the question if it is, because we're going to read in this a little bit later. He says, "Get out of the city. Get out of the city." What did he tell Lot? Get out of the city. Mm-hmm. What did he tell his people? Get out of the city. Get out of the city. And can you imagine wanting to stay? Mm. Lot's wife wanted to stay. "Oh, but I like the food and I like the stuff and I got so many friends here." It's like, hey, you got Facebook. You can just like them on Facebook. So he says, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons." Understand, demons, you don't see demons, but they actually use, possess, and oppress people. So you look at what people are doing, and if it's demonic activity, that's a person who's oppressed by demons type thing, demonic activity. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness." And, you know, powers, principalities, and that type of thing. And so, I'm not calling people demons. I'm just calling people controlled by demons. I got a good friend that's controlled by... Okay, she has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird, for all nations. This is where we're getting into the scripting factor. "For all nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries." So think about it. I mean, there's a lot of nations with a lot of money. There's a few, you know, old rich nations that have this great wealth. But everybody's not showing up to those sandy malls and those sandy, you know, it's like, do you have any shrubbery? I mean, is there like a tree out here or something? And but when you come to America, I mean, how many people are jumping over the borders of other nations wanting to come in, like they're wanting to come into America? How many, and he's like, he's talking about all the nations have drunk. And I remember a graph being done once, and the graph of income from the beginning of creation to today. And it was like that, I mean, including King Solomon and all that, and how much money, personal wealth people had. And so the graph was just sort of like this. It just kept going and going and just a little bit up and down, up and down. And all of a sudden, the 1900s in America, around 1901, 1980 something, the industrial age, mm-hmm. America went like this. I mean, this is everywhere. This is like David. This is like Solomon. This is all that. And it went straight like this. And the graph went so high, it could not even fit in the room.
Wow.
And so we're living in this huge prosperity because, and it's important because he's saying here, all the nations have drunk from her. And many people, I mean, if they say this, they say, if America sneezes, that the world gets a cold. The whole nation, the whole world, all the nations of the world, the kings of the world now are watching her and seeing what she's going to do. And what he says here about Babylon, which describes what we're talking about, that they have drunk her maddening wine of her adulteries. In other words, this is what our president, George W. Bush, said, that the people who work at Wall Street got drunk on their greed. Mm-hmm. This is, you got to stay tuned. We're coming to the end of this program, but we're going to pick right up in a few moments. Don't forget, we're four programs back to back. We're going to find out that first characteristic, even President George W. Bush nailed it. He says, you got drunk on your greed. You got this is the nations. The nations are getting drunk on America's exploits and luxuries and all these different things. We're made a lot of nations and a lot of kings wealthy and a lot of merchants wealthy. So let's just find out, is New York City this Babylon, or does it fit the criteria? We're asking the question, is New York City Babylon, the one spoke about in Revelation chapter 18? And so far we begin to talk about, my goodness, this is so far, I mean, when you check this off, and we're going to share with you some dreams and visions and things the Lord's given us and given others. And think, you know, we will conclude with potentially saying, okay, fine. If it's not the Babylon, it definitely is a Babylon.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But there's no other city that meets his criteria. I mean, this is a major thing, a major, major thing. And so we're looking at Revelation chapter 18 in regards to, is New York City. is New York City the Babylon they're speaking of? And remember, these books, these chapters are not in order. So you can't say, well, it couldn't be, because 17 talks about the 10 kings handing over their authority, the final transition of authority to the beast. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but they're not in order. They're in order. You would have thought, okay, take two steps this way, two steps that way. We're at the store. We get our, you know, ice cream. We go back home. It's over.
It's
okay,
like,
we figured
it
out, God. God, yeah, God, we figured you out. We figured you out.
All right, right.
And so we're looking at it. And so we just want to pick up and make sure, if you haven't heard yet, we're going to pick up because we've got some dreams we want to share with you, hopefully. Because we're asking the question, is New York City the Babylon spoken about in Revelation chapter 18? And we're just asking the question. We're not, you know, whatever. But he says right here in Revelation chapter 18, verse 3, he says, for all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. I mean, what other country in the world has that? And we've already talked about in the last particular program. And then he says, and the kings of the earth committed adultery with her. And you have to understand how God sees adultery. Adultery is when you give up, you make something other than God a god. Mm-hmm. And so when you follow that other than God, you committed adultery against God. So he's not talking about, you know, somebody came and had sex with America. And that's how people see it. They only see adultery as that. And he says, no, God divorced Israel for the cause
that's
of adultery.
Right. Sure, yeah.
He says, don't you know that friendship of the world is an enemy of God? You're committing adultery on him. And so these kings of the earth committed adultery with this Babylon, the city. And then he says, and the merchants of the earth grew rich with her excessive luxuries. Think about it. The merchants, people that run stores and run, I don't know, Calvin Klein and all these big Vera Wang and I can't name them all.
You're not good at that.
No, I'm not. Go ahead.
I know. I'm not good.
Okay. But if you go to New York City, you'll see riding right down the road on a big dress rack full of brand new dresses.
Fifth Avenue.
It's known for the merchants of the world trade.
It's the fashion
there.
Capital. It's the Fifth Avenue. That's where you go. I mean,
it's the fashion capital. It's the stuff capital. It's the media capital. When you watch Fox, when you watch ABC, when you watch Good Morning America, when you watch Today Show, when you watch ABC News, CBS News, NBC News, when you watch all the programs that come out of NBC, probably come out of Rockefeller Center, where they're filming it right there, where they have that big ice rink, that building behind it's the Rockefeller Center, the lighting of the Christmas tree. I mean, you can say what you want to, but it's just like the merchants, and the only reason your television station is on, if it's not a ministry, if it's like a secular television station like ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, is because the commercials that run between your programming, the merchants are selling their stuff by you watching their program.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so merchants are becoming rich off of what's produced in New York City. Mm-hmm. That's why you go to Times Square. We've been to Times Square with all the billboards and the advertising. Mm-hmm. Those billboards, those huge, expensive billboards, are merchants' billboards. They're merchants. So which means we're finding out right here where he says, the merchants of the world, the merchants of the earth grew rich by her excessive luxuries. And he's talking about a city. He's not talking about a nation here. He's talking about a city. And so I think it's fair to say, since the New York Stock Exchange is there, which means every company that's traded publicly, and I can't tell you the numbers, but it's so huge, it's what you hear about all the time. There are 16,000 a day, is that, which is, that's the businesses now are owned in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a bull in front of it, a Baal altar in front of the thing. And it's so, okay, well, you have the clothing empire, whatever you call it, apparel empire. Yeah. You have the media empire there. So you have the world clothing, the world media there. You have the world stock, which is a stock in all these businesses. So 100% of the businesses are controlled. Its value, its wealth, its selling and trading happens there. So that's pretty interesting. So far it's like, but what other city is like that? When you go travel to other countries, or you just maybe just flip on one of the these travel channels, and you'll watch. They're singing American songs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like you're in the Philippines, and you're doing, you know, X Factor Philippines, and you're singing some song that John sung in America. No, that, I mean, think about
What's important to know, too, the UN is in New York City.
Well, I haven't got there yet. Remind that when we get there. We don't get too ahead. We're going to check this stuff off because it gets worse. And so, because we're talking about all the kings. We're going to talk about all the kings. But we're looking first, okay, so then we have, in regards to, so the media, and so then we have, he talks about this. In verse 4, he says, then I heard another voice from heaven say, and this is not the same voice. The first voice was the angel saying, fallen, fallen is New York City. Now, fallen, fallen is Babylon. But this other voice comes and says, come out of her, my people. Think about that. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. I mean, think about that. So here, the beginning of what he's talking about, describing the city, and we're speaking about the question, we're asking the question, is New York City this Babylon that's being spoken about in Revelation chapter 18? If it's not the Babylon, we're finding out it definitely so far is a Babylon. And God is no respecter of cities, by the way. But it's like, there's not another city like this. And so he's telling his people to come out. And so many people, I mean, I remember Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, speaking to California recently. And he's saying, and people got offended with him. But he said, listen, I never would have said this before, but I got to tell you, based on what I'm hearing, get out of California. Didn't he?
Yeah, sure did.
Okay. He said, get out of California. And so people begin to like, I can't believe you would say that. You know, you're freaking our church out, you know, and the type of thing. Well, first of all, if you're hearing the same Jesus he's hearing, you're already packing your bags and heading out. Well, here, you know, what he's saying, what this other voice from heaven is saying here in Revelation 18, he's saying, get out of the city. I mean, there is life outside the city. You can get your driver's license. you know, there's not going to be a subway, and you can't walk down to get you a banana and a cup of coffee at the local whatever. But you know what? You'll live. And the interesting thing, too, is to understand, he says, so you will not share in her sins. And it's hard. I mean, think about it. If you are a man or a woman, and you say, hey, you know, I want to get married. And so you say, well, you know what? I'm going to marry a prostitute, you know, who's on the streets right now. And God says, well, don't be unequally yoked. I mean, don't do that. But you do it. I mean, what's your life going to be like? You know, she's asking, like, where are you going? He's going, I'm going to go make some money. You know, and he's going to say to her, where are you going? He says, I'm going to go make some money. I mean, they're not going to think you're going to go sell burgers or something. But you married that. Your life's going to be real rough. And imagine this. Imagine if you set up your bedroom where you sleep at every night, where you lay your head down, that though it's not in your where you sleep at, you actually build that inside of a brothel. And so around you is constant, you know, all the things that happen in brothels. And this is the American mindset of the church nowadays that is like, that's not going to bother me. It's not in my house. It's not in my room. But you're setting you're deciding to put your family in an environment that is so seduced that it's going to be impossible for you for not to share in their sins. It just happens. We need God. We're dependent on God for us to be able to stand. And if you put your family, if you send your kids and your family, or whatever, to schools and things that are against your God. I mean, you're creating a battle for you. You're going to share in their sins. If you send them to public universities where 70% of the students reportedly, when they finish at that public university, deny their faith. In Christian universities where 50% deny their faith when they come out. You can find out more about them on the VFN Torch. What he's saying right here, he's like, get out of the city. Because you're not only will you not be destroyed, because you're going to be destroyed if you stay there because I'm going to destroy the city. But he's saying you're going to be caught up in their stuff. It makes me think a lot. It makes me think a lot when, you know, the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah came up before God, and it wasn't just sex in that city. It was greed. It was gluttony. It was idolatry. It was idleness. and it was sexual sin. Mm-hmm. But people just focus, all the idolaters and the prideful and the others, they just focus on the sexual part. It's like, it's all sin. Which one sends you to hell? People are going to get there like, what the heck are you doing here?
Yeah.
Maybe like something like that, because their language would be different because they don't care. And so there is times when you got to get out of a place. There's times when you got to leave a job. While you can, there may be a place where, you know, in the future where you're in servitude and you can't. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, you're choosing to be there and you're watching your family. This is what, you know, I believe. And my spiritual father, John Kilpatrick, talks about it. He says, if you got your family, you got your family, a responsibility for your family, and you're getting paid $25, $35 an hour to be where you're at, but you're in an environment kind of like what I'm talking about, and you know where there's a man or a woman of God, you can get up under them, put your whole family up under them and stay there and be totally connected and submitted and up under that covering. He said, I'd get there even if you had to sell out for $10 an hour and work at whatever, because you want your family to make it. Mm-hmm. And so many people in America right now are staying in cities that God is just clamping down on while you're watching everything destroyed. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult. And the thing is, you got to get up under the word of God. You got to get rightly related and connected to what God is doing to be able to walk this out. It takes enduring wisdom and patient wisdom to be able to do what God's called us to do. And you can't just flippantly go, I'll just live here. And imagine this too. Imagine that you live in a hotel, and in that hotel, they have rooms, you know, 100, 101, 102. That's the first floor. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, they have 200, 201, 202. I don't know if you figured this out yet. And then the third floor is actually 300, 301.
Wow.
I just so you
is
know,
that
you know,
what happens?
That's impressive.
It can save you a lot of time, you know, just knowing that's what it is. And so say you're living in room 205. And that's your house. You live in 205, but you have 204 on one side of you. You have 206 on the other side of you. You have 304 right on top of you. You have 104, 104 whoever's down below you. So you have all these other folks that are living around you. So you're not, even though you feel like you're alone and technology is convinced you're alone, mm-hmm. when you understand, you're really not in regards to spirituality, because we wrestled against spiritual wickedness. And so you have the second heaven. Ephesians 6:12 talks about it, powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness. And so if you chose to put your house at 201, for example, or 204, whatever it said, and you're surrounded by people who chose to live in the world and to bow down to whatever the world has to offer, it's going to be real difficult for you, because every time you lay your head down at night, you're laying your head down in the midst of gross darkness. Mm. Your sheetrock wall or your wood wall, even your fire wall, does not protect you spiritually from what's going on. The blood of Jesus does protect you, but you're very vulnerable when you lay yourself down at night. You're very vulnerable when you raise a family up in an environment. So you have to be mindful of, God sometimes says, just leave. Leave your neighborhood and find you a different neighborhood. Leave the place that you're living now and find a place of peace. And what's about to happen? What's about to happen in America and the world, according to, you know, some things that just got released on an earlier program, is that, you want to find a place of peace. You're going to need to have a place of peace. Mm-hmm. And you want to separate yourself from those who refuse to separate themselves from the world. And I don't care who they are, what they're doing. You're going to have to be able to do that. We're talking about, is New York City Babylon? Babylon spoken about in Revelation chapter 18. I know, you know, listen, this is four programs back to back. I don't want to repeat that over and over again, but the truth is, if it meets the criteria, it still could be hired for Babylon. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, well, I guess we're kind of tied between Babylon, the city, and New York that is a Babylon. We're trying to figure out who to hire here. Who are we going to judge? You know, you know, maybe God's going to judge every city the way he always judges every city, you know, positive or negative. And so we're asking that question. And when we talked about a little bit earlier about all the kings, he talks about all the kings of the earth committed adultery with her. We think, what are the kings? What are you talking about, all the kings? And then it goes on a little bit further, you know, that in verse 6 in chapter 18, he says, give her back as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion of her own cup. In other words, ever how you treated other folks, city, ever how you're treating folks. I mean, think about it right now. This is what the media is saying in New York. They're saying, we do not want Jesus, his name mentioned. When a guy that's on a television show begins to talk about his biblical perspective of sexuality, they suspend him from one of their programs, you know, the Robinson.
Yeah, for Robinson. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, but this is the media that's coming out of there. It's like, well, you know, he's not saying that that's, he's going to push that on anybody. He's just saying that's what he believes. And it's like, can't everybody, unless, hey, that's what's coming out of there. What's coming out of there is saying you cannot speak your mind. And so this is what happened. He says, well, give her back what she's done to others. Double for her trouble, you know,
wow.
Double for her trouble. And that's what's like, wow, this could be, this is, yeah, you're paying attention now, right? And then he says, you know, give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. I mean, how many people? It's ridiculous. When you look at the money spent in New York, I mean, well, I was heard just recently, I don't know, it was 50% of Sean Hannity's income that he gets in New York goes to the government.
Wow.
50% of something like that is what was reported by The Blaze. 50%. 50%. And they're spending that on just the lives of luxury and all the things that are going on in the city. And it's like, and you compare, you got to understand, you can't compare yourself. You don't use yourself as a measuring rod. Use what is to look at what is. And our poorest person in America, according to statistics, is richer than 75% of the world's population. 75%. Okay, let's just swing over to New York. How rich then is New York compared to the world? That's the top probably 1%. Mm-hmm. But why were you seeing these guys out here with the Occupy Wall Street in Manhattan? Because they were confronting the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like you can't say that, hey, that's what they were doing. I'm not saying for again. I'm just saying they weren't wrong in saying whoever was paying them to be there. It was the 2%. They wanted to move up to the 1. And so, and then he says, give her back double for her trouble. He says, in her heart she boasts, I sit as a queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her. Death will mourn and famine will come. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. And it's so amazing. It's like, wow, in a day. And then we're talking about this, and hopefully we'll get to talk about it. We're probably going to get to talk about all of it. We're not going to stop until we finish this. Which means we'll pick it up tomorrow, is that she falls in a day. In a day. And you think, well, you know, that couldn't be possible. Did you see 9/11?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch these? My heart's so broke for these Americans that are running down a street. They're running down these streets that we walked in Manhattan. And unless your heart has grown cold and you don't care about human beings, I mean, you are broken. Because this, they're running. And these towers, these great towers, they fell. And they created this huge plume of smoke and just it ran down the streets, and it was horrific. And they're running and running and running, and this big cloud is chasing them. You have to understand, it's an island. It's an island. It is not, it's just a rock. It's not some huge, it's just got real high buildings on it, but it doesn't take long to overwhelm this place. And with the Hurricane Sandy, flooded it. And your heart's like, oh my goodness, look what's happening. And then another tower fell. And reporters are gasping and pouring water in their face, trying to get the dead body ash out of their mouths and nose and their ears, because it was human bodies as well as papers and stuff that had fallen. And it's like, that's like a warning shot fired over the bow of America, that this outside of God can happen to us. And I think about, you know, that all the kings committed adultery with her. What does that mean? Well, you think about it. There's a United Nations is located right there in the heart of Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
about 10 miles away from where you used to live. Over 193 kings, by the way, meet in New York. 193 kings meet in New York. I mean, that's major. I would say that's where the kings of the world come to drink her adulteries. And guess what? Guess what they do to these kings when they come in? They actually wine and dine them. They do because they want the nation. They're wanting to win them over. We write checks to them. This is what we do. We say, I understand that you're killing your folks, and I understand that you just took out President Mubarak, and I understand that you're the Muslim Brotherhood leader right here at Morsi, but we're going to write you a check for $1 billion. Thank you for coming to New York. Right?
That's right.
Happens at the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just feeding them our resources. We're buying off favors, and they're going like, dude, I know this is a lot, but you got to drink this cup from America, man. I got $1 billion for just saying I'll agree with them. Think about it. We're asking the question, and we're going to continue talking about it. Is New York Babylon? Because right now, it fits the criteria for Babylon. If they're looking to hire a city or a position called Babylon, she could be hired. Is New York City the Babylon spoken about in Revelation chapter 18? And so far, you gotta listen to this. It's like, my goodness, it's amazing how it lines up. It really lines up. If it's not, if they're looking for a position called to hire somebody for the position for Babylon, you know, for a job description, I mean, New York City could be hired.
Hmm.
It could be hired. Right now, they're the only qualified candidate on the face of the earth. That's what we're saying. They're the only qualified candidate for the job called Babylon right now.
Wow.
I mean, there could be somebody else that goes through the University of Darkness and sells themselves out to Lucifer and goes into all this. But right now, in our age, this is the, and the words we're hearing about her is the fact that she is. And what we're just talking about, you know, how she falls in a day. She falls in a day, and in that day, fire comes and consumes her. And it makes me think about several words, but we first want to find out about these kings that have gotten drunk on her, because remember, got drunk on all of her luxuries. In other words, money. We call things diplomacy. What it really is, we call it's currency. We write checks. And, of course, the reason is, of course, you know, it's like if it's going to cost us $1 billion to go to war and we have loss of life, but we can write a check for $300 million. We don't go to war, no life loss. I can understand that. Unless we are not serving God and our intentions are evil.
Mm-hmm.
And 193 kings gather at the United Nations. And, by the way, there is not a country called the United Nations. It's New York City. It is New York City. And personally, you know, I think they need to relocate that puppy. You know, why not? It doesn't have to be there. It could be somewhere like off the soil of America. I mean,
yeah, right. Like but it, gone.
But if in fact, though, it is, and this is, and you understand the United Nations is where there's a voting bloc, a Muslim voting bloc that's constantly ruling against Israel over and over and over and over again. You think, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, America is the one that supports it. We're the one that gave $1.231 billion, you know, to it in 1995. And the year before that, we gave $1.3 billion to it. And the year before that, $1.3 billion. The year before that, $1.2 billion. We handle like, you know, the 73% of the budget or something like that. We're actually fueling that. So this very thing that's beating the heck out of Israel in regards to filing all these things against them, you got to hear, you know, seeking God's perspective of Israel, that United Nations is not for Israel.
Right.
They're not for Israel. And so in that all the kings gather there. And how are they getting drunk on our luxuries? And it's because we're actually writing checks to the kings. I mean, think about it. If all you got to do is show up or topple your present leader and you become the king and they write you a check for $1 billion. And you know, when you go study these countries, they go, well, out of that billion, $84 went to the people and the rest of it is in some foreign bank account somewhere waiting for him to no longer be king. And that's what happens quite often. But they're buying off the leader in the direction. Well, that's not good. God doesn't want to buy off nations and peoples. And we're putting them in servitude when we do that. But they're getting drunk on our money. Our poorest person in America is richer than 75%+ of the world's population, which is 7-point-something billion people now. Our poorest. So we're wealthy. Well, New York City's got to be the 1%. And so we're thinking about, my goodness, so all the kings have been gathering in the United Nations right there in New York City. So even that meets the criteria of the job description for Are You Babylon? And then he goes on and says, you know, in verse 9, when all of a sudden Revelation chapter 18, verse 9, he says that, I remember all this fire's coming down and this thing's, you know, burning up, consuming fire is beginning to come over the city, which we saw with 9/11, how simple it would be to bring destruction. And by the way, it'll be people against people. It'll be enemy using people to do evil things. It really wasn't these men who did this thing to 9/11. It was Satan who had these men to hurt or harm folks. You know what I'm saying? They were believed in a demonic thing. Mm-hmm. And so in verse 9, he says, when the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her, so this would be the kings that gather in the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
and shared her luxuries, wining and dining you, writing you checks. What do you need, $1 billion, even though you toppled President Mubarak and locked him up in jail and put the Muslim Brotherhood over this whole thing? And, you know, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
We bought that out. We wrote up $1 billion check and gave him some aircraft and all this different stuff. We sent Turkey.
Wow.
I'll tell you what. We're just going to get you drunk on the Iron Curtain. We're going to send you these missiles and these bombs and stuff to Turkey.
Yeah.
And so the Ottoman Empire and all these places. And so we're actually just, yeah, what else do you want? You want some more money? How about some, you know? And we're just pouring it out. And people are like, man, you got to drink some of this. This is amazing. I mean, if you just threaten America, they'll write you a check.
Man.
That's what a lot of American citizens do is they sue each other. Anyway. When the kings of the earth who commit adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, so the kings are going to see the smoke coming from the city Babylon, they will weep and mourn over her, terrified at her torment. They will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe, O New York! No, woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power! The twin towers that went down." That was the financial center for the world. The exchange of currency took place in that thing. And of all the things that we built back as a monument was a huge light that beamed way in the skies. And he talks about the light. We're going to talk about the light. We'll be seeing no more. You think about this thing. And so they were taking down the fine. This is like a little hint of what was to come. And then he says, the merchants of the earth. And I mean, what city has a merchants of the earth traded with? I mean, come on. I mean, have you been, what, does your food come from Iraq? Come on. Think about it. And if it does come from China, it was because an American company hired them to build it. Like Apple, like Walmart, you know, type of thing. So it's the merchant itself is in America. The servitude and the slavery that these merchants are putting people in to give you the prices that you demand is in other countries, which means slaves, which means putting that woman in the slavery where she's making $2 a week to put your shirt on your back so you can say, I got this great deal. While we're actually dogging out our fathers and saying that they enslaved, what they did, and it was wrong, it was evil. But we can't keep on enslaving people today. That's not the answer. We have slavery happening right this moment. Right this moment. We have to confront all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. It's like, oh man, I thought they cared about us. But they're actually crying because they don't make no more money. It's like a crackhead don't get no crack no more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody addicted to drugs, like an alcoholic going, I can't, they're going to, we're going to dry heaves. No more money. No more merchants. And so she's mourning because they're not going to be able to buy with her anymore. I mean, is this not New York or what?
Wow.
Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen. This is like the stuff going down the streets of Manhattan. I mean, you see all this stuff. Purple silk, scarlet cloth, every sort of type of wood, articles of every kind of ivory, costly wood, braised iron, iron marble, cinnamon spices, wine, olive oil, I mean, everything just is traded there. It's called commodities, by the way. That's what commodities are. Commodities are food and that type of thing. And then he says, and even horses, which would be cars, Ford, motor companies, public, and all that kind of stuff, and the bodies and souls of men, slaves. Mm-hmm. You think, well, we don't have slavery anymore. You have to understand, first of all, yes, we do. If, in fact, if you follow the money and you find out why you got that product for $8, You'll find somebody tied to some sewing machine somewhere, forced because of their poverty. Remember, you're richer than 80%, 75% of the world if you're just the poorest person. So if you're in New York, you're like the 1%, but the economy's just there. And so the reason why you got that good price, because somebody gave up money that they could have to live their life on, food, housing, shelter. And that's why you go to different nations and you see great poverty, because that's servitude. When we're writing them a check, instead of saying, as the church, we should be there empowering them and do like Israel. Israel is a great example of what the church should be doing. They are blessing everybody. And their enemies, they're blessing. They're coming. God's given them divine ideas and concepts, and they're going in there and helping people grow crops and all this type of stuff. And it's like, what's America doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is America? We're actually selling it for high, high prices. Mm-hmm. Is what we're doing, instead of giving the technology away and the different things that we're creating. And so when you look about that, it's like, well, so then even God's going to deal with this slavery that's going on today, where these merchants are getting drunk on the slavery. No, okay, the taskmaster are the merchants who are being operating under these kings, who America is buying off with their dollars so that we can get our products back here, so they can employ our people to sell their products. And we're paying 1 week's worth pay for one American employee at just minimum wage. It's probably more than the worker who made that shirt will make in 6 months. And we don't see that as slavery. But guess what? Babylon. Look at what I'm just saying. I'm just saying right here. And I got to move along really quickly. It's like, I'd say I began to look for a place to live outside of where I was. You know what I'm saying? Because I just feel like we're close to something happening. And we're going to be sharing with you about these dreams and visions that was given to us and David Wilkerson and others, and it's specifically about New York City. And it's not good. And it has to deal with all these institutions that we've been listing off, and this listed off in Revelation chapter 18. And so then he goes on and he says right here, he says, they will say, the fruit you longed for, the fruit you long for is gone from you. In other words, that lust that you had for everything that New York had to offer. And that's what, it's a city of lust. I remember being there before I even knew the Lord, and I was stationed in Brooklyn, but I would go catch the buses and the subway to go to Manhattan, because it's just like this draw on your flesh. It just pulled your flesh. And at that time, I was totally driven by my flesh. And it just stirred all these wrong passions up inside of you. And it's like those who long for her fruit, and I'm saying you can't be a believer in the midst of that, but I am saying what God says. He says that come out of her, my people, so you will not share in her sins. Sometimes you just got to step away from a city, especially if God's about to deal with a city.
Mm-hmm.
As an example to all of us, not to the city itself, as much as we need to pay attention, because this is going to be used as an example, because this is what they asked Jesus when these towers fell. Says, Jesus, did these towers fall on these folks because they were evil? And out of middle of nowhere, Jesus says, unless you repent, you know, you are going to go to hell.
Get ready.
It's like, no, I'm talking about the people. And it's like, that was an example to us.
Right.
That life is not forever. But we're going to continue this conversation. Make sure you join us as we continue to talk about, is New York City the Babylon spoken about in Revelation chapter 18? Remember, they're not in order.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to say, okay, if this was not out of, this was, didn't have to happen after 17, chapter 17, could this be? And if there's a job description, as I'm saying, and we're reading the job description right now, New York City is the only qualified candidate in the face of the earth right now. And so we're reading it and asking questions as we go along, is in Revelation chapter 18, verse 15, he says, we talked about the riches in verse 14. He says, they will say, the fruit you long for is gone from her. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn, and they will cry, woe, woe, oh, New York City. No. Whoa, whoa, oh, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, glittering gold, precious stones and pearls. Have you seen the rocks on the women's hands there and the men's in the ears? In 1 hour, they say, in 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. In 1 hour, God has already spoken to us, and we'll be talking more about in our next program, is that he's shown us it falling in 6 minutes, the economy crashing in 6 minutes. But I just want to give you, understand, these are the merchants that became wealthy off what's taken place out of the city of New York. And you think, well, how could that be? Understand that there are tyrants out there that these folks who are merchants hire. They may do it through a middleman, but they hire, and they encapsulate a people, say in China, and they build large buildings, and they bring these workers in, and they abuse them. They force them to the point that they jump off some of them want to commit suicide. One of the people in one of the countries actually kidnapped their CEO. Maybe it was in China. They took him in, and they were demanding their rights. And the whole thing is that if you're getting a good deal because somebody else got a raw deal, you are a master or buying products from somebody who is enslaving people to give you the product. The reason why America took over the cotton market, because it was done on the backs of our brothers and sisters. Some were being beat, whip hung, and not compensated for what they did. It's called slavery. You have to understand that's why we took it over. We didn't take it over because we were brilliant. We took it over because we didn't compensate the Africans that were brought over to America to be able to do that. Took it over from Great Britain, the textile industry. And so today it's no different if you have an Asian family that is building your shirt or building your, weaving textiles or building your car or building your phone, and they're getting paid, $10 a week. And while you're paying the merchant $1,000 for that product. And so you understand the merchant just made luxury, gifts, money, wealth. But they did that. You have to understand the whole lineage there is that was done on the back of a slave. Not an American slave, not an African slave, unless it's happened. Obviously, there's some areas in Africa, the continent, that's happening today. But maybe an Indian slave. Maybe somebody from parts of China. And so God's into justice. And I can sense in my spirit, I'm telling you, God told me at the first of the year that the scales are going to be balanced. Justice is coming. And God is not into you or anybody else just because you have a business, oppressing folks in other lands so you can give good prices to Americans if we're already that wealthy. We have to ask ourselves. I don't care if it's the biggest store. As Christians, we have to ask ourselves that. And so New York City is the place where these merchants are at. And so these merchants are off watching Babylon. And so if it's New York City, they're watching New York City and they're shocked. They're going like, how could such a great city fall? And God's shown us the city in ruins. God's shown David Wilkerson the city burned. God has gave us a hint by showing what happens when he moves his hand at 9/11. God has shown John, and we're going to talk about this specifically, in 6 minutes, the New York stock market crashing, the economy crashing. And that's what they're saying right here. How could she lose her wealth in an hour? In an hour. She falls in a day, but she loses her wealth in an hour. Well, the world as you know it will be changed in 6 minutes regards to financially. So if something happens to New York, it's going to affect the world.
That's right.
In America, it's going to affect you. And we have so many things we want to share with you about New York because we're asking the question, is New York City this Babylon that's being spoken about and talked about? And then he goes on to say right here after saying that she fell in an hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. And reports are right now that the new head of the Federal Reserve, who just got appointed by our president, said, and I think she'll come in January, the reports are that she's saying, I'll print 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't care. I'll print.
Wow.
I'll print money. I'll print the running press, and I'm paraphrasing that. But basically, she has no problem continuing to print money. Understand, if you have a dollar in your pocket, just a dollar, that will not go away. It will still be there. But when they started printing money, you could buy possibly a dollar's worth of product. But when they keep printing money, you may only be able to buy 1/8 of a cent worth of product with that very same dollar. That's what printing money does.
It would be a tissue paper then.
Yeah, it would be a tissue paper. Maybe, you know, do like the Weimar Republic, which we talked about before, that's where we're going. And that what it is, it's the crashing of an economy. It's the crashing of a system. I think it's sort of like what President Bill Clinton said in his interview with Barbara Walters back in 1996, which he said, you know, I really would like to be like Teddy Roosevelt in regards to having a transfer, I'd like to transform the world and the nation to be totally different during my presidency without having a war. That's what's taking place right now as we speak. And the question is, as they just elected a somebody who thinks very fondly of communism and the way that big government works as the mayor of New York. But right prior to that, it was the assistant of the future candidate for president's assistant, her husband running for mayor. And we found out they really didn't have much to do with it. Yeah, it's hard to, you can't, anyway, so listen, we're answering this question. We got so much more to talk about. We got some dreams and visions and some prophetic words, and even David Wilkerson, I believe the Lord has taken him on because he's with the Lord now. So he doesn't have to see what he prophesied about Babylon, what's taking place. Yes, God does say, I'm going to talk about the music industry. I'm going to talk about music, musicians. I'm going to talk about factories. I'm going to talk about all these different things, even the voice of the Lord. You're wanting to be able to hear the voice of the Lord in this city. God's going to deal with it so roughly. Think about it. And that really could really help out. Just get out of the city. Everybody, just get out of the city. Let it go, and we'll just start again somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
Because God loves you. So if you repent and you turn to God, everything's going to be cool. As a matter of fact, you got to go to meetmyfather.org. You got to meet him today through his son, Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.